Welcome to The Productivity Show, the Asian Efficiency Podcast dedicated to helping you make the most of your time, attention, energy, and focus. In this episode, Tan and I revisit the topic of core values, what they are, why they're important, and what you can do to identify your own. This is a great episode where Tan dives into how he originally came up with the Asian Efficiency core values and how that has helped him from a team productivity perspective. And I talk about how I applied what I learned from Asian Efficiency to identify personal core values for my family and what we did to make sure that those remain front of mind. Don't forget that you can find links to everything we talk about in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/126. And now, on with the show. All right, so today we're talking about core values. We originally talked about our Asian Efficiency company core values back in episode 66, but they've changed a little bit since then. And we also had quite a few people asking about the process for identifying core values. So today we're going to dive in deep on this topic and explain how you can identify your own core values. You ready, Tan?
I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's do this.
All right. So maybe I'll let you kind of start about the process maybe for how Asian Efficiency developed their core values. And maybe were there any exercises or processes that you followed in order to identify those?
Yeah. So if you haven't listened to the other episodes where we talked about the Asian Efficiency core values, definitely do so. But the main idea behind core values is that they are rules and boundaries that kind of define a company's culture and personality. So you hear the term core values a lot when it comes to businesses, companies, organizations, teams, and usually it doesn't really have any sort of connotation when it comes to your personal life, even though if you have a list of core values, it will benefit your personal life, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But so core values are really, really essential in order for a company or a team or just a group of people to unify and work together productively and efficiently. And so if you don't have a set of core values, it's really difficult to have a streamlined operational team. And so the reason we came up with our core values was, to be honest, I read a book and it basically said, hey, you should list your core values and have them put in your company wall and all that good stuff. So I read it once and I thought, okay, you know, sounds like a good exercise. Maybe I'll do it at some point. And then as I keep reading more and more books about business and how to grow your business and how to grow Asian Efficiency and anything related to that, this recurring pattern came up. And you know how sometimes when people tell you to read the same book over and over and over again, and you hear multiple people mentioning in the same book, you might say to yourself, you know what? I hear this book mentioned all the time. I should probably read this. It's kind of the same thing with core values. As you start your business and grow your business, you're going to hear this term a lot. And so I heard this a lot, and I thought, okay, let's just get really serious about this. And it wasn't until I read this book called Rockefeller Habits, which now the new version is called Scaling Up by Vern Harnish, one of my favorite business books ever in the world. And the way he describes the exercise is, if you could send five people who embodied everything that was best about your company to an alien world, who would they be and what would they embody? So just think about that for a second. So let me repeat that one more time. If you could send five people who embodied everything that was best about your company to an alien world, who would they be and what would they embody? So usually when a company first establishes their list of core values, it's usually the founders who kind of like set the parameters and set the initial list of core values. And that's how it happened with Asian Efficiency as well. And then over time, as you start to grow your business, or maybe if you already have a big established business and you want to introduce core values, usually you start to then add other people to the team. And that's kind of how we did it here as well with Asian Efficiency. And as the team grew, we started adding inputs from other people who embody everything that we think is best for the company and what unifies us. And that is sort of the process that we came to finding our core values. And, you know, last time you were here, Mike, we were still reassessing core values. And that's something we do every single quarter. And I know when I first recruited you to join and sort of like stole you away from this other company, like this was really important because I remember you saying that, you know, when I brought up the core values, that's one of the things that attracted you.
Yeah, core values seem to have a very polarizing effect on people. But from a business perspective, they say that the most successful companies are the ones that are polarizing like that. Like Apple, for example, is a very polarizing company. There are people who either love Apple and everything that they stand for, or they hate Apple. And we have customers I know who fall on both sides of that fence, and they wish that we would shut up about Apple every once in a while. But it's a great example. And that's the effect that the core values had on me, is when you put your core values out there, it either directly aligns with people's belief systems. So for me, for example, I read those core values and I'm like, yes, this is something I can get completely behind. Or right away you read them and you're like, ah, that's not really for me. That's not really what I'm about. Going back to the Apple example, I mean, they made very clear choices about how they're going to develop their products, and they make constraints in the system for an iOS, for example. There's a lot of stuff that you can't really control. Android is a lot more open, and that's going to appeal to some people. For iOS, the usability is going to appeal to some people. And I think that core values have that same sort of effect.
Yeah, exactly. And the best way I can explain why core values are so important, not just for businesses, but also for your personal life, is to use a very, really simple dating example. If you're single and you're looking to find a partner, who would be your ideal partner? And when you really think about that, and for the people listening who are married, which I know most people are who follow us, but if you really think about relationships and really successful relationships, one thing that is always true when it comes to successful relationships is that these people who are together share very similar values. Just think about that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've in the productive parenting webinar, I talk a lot about the power of agreement and alignment and why it's so important between you and your spouse. And in a dating example, it's the same principle. You have to be pulling in the same direction. So core values really help get everybody on the same page and headed in the same direction. It puts the vision out there, which makes it easier for everybody in the organization, everybody on the same team, to be moving in the same direction. And when that happens, there's a force multiplier that happens. So I talk about in the productive parenting webinar, for example, the two horse rule, where you've got one horse that can pull 300 pounds, another that can pull 150, and you would think that together they could pull 450, but it's actually more like 900, because there's that force multiplier when you get the momentum and you get them pulling in the same direction. And so core values are really an essential piece to get that sort of movement happening in your organization.
Yeah, exactly. And that is with two people, right? Like the dating and the horse rule. Imagine you have a whole organization that is aligned around the same values. Like what kind of output can you expect then? You know, like if there's a horse rule for two people, what would that rule exist for like a whole team? It'd be like a rhinosaur rule or something.
What does the 25 horse rule look like?
Exactly. So that's why core values are so important. It allows people to unite around something together. And one of my favorite books of 2016 was this book called Sapiens. And if you haven't read this book, I highly, highly recommend it. If you know me, I really don't like reading history books. I'm not into history whatsoever. This is one of my least favorite subjects in school. But somebody told me to read this book, and I trusted this guy. And I said, okay, I'll give it a try. So the book is really about human evolution and how we sort of evolved over time. So one of the things that I always wondered about was this idea of cognitive dissonance. And I know that this is a little bit of a side tangent, but I'm going to pull it together at the end here. And the idea of cognitive dissonance, what it really is that when you have two thoughts that are conflicting, when you have two thoughts going on at the same time that are conflicting, that's what's called cognitive dissonance, right? So an example is if you want to lose weight, And you really envision that vision that you have for yourself, where you lose weight, you're in amazing shape, but right now you're not in that amazing shape, and you realize that, you have cognitive dissonance, right? So you have two conflicting thoughts going on. And so even to this day, we have this going on. And I thought, why do we still have this? It doesn't make any sense. Why do we have cognitive dissonance? Like, how does this help with evolution? And so what the book explains And what the book really is awesome for is when you are interested in psychology and you understand cognitive biases and mental models and you kind of wonder where they came from and where all this popular psychology comes from, when you understand the human evolution, you start to understand where they come from. So the basic premise is, in order for us to grow as people and to survive on this planet Earth, we had to build bigger tribes. However, in order for us to collaborate and socialize in bigger tribes, we needed to rally around something. So that's when sort of God came to in existence, or symbols came into existence, because it allowed people to unite around something. Right. So that's how these tribes essentially grew bigger and bigger and bigger, because they could unite around a symbol or a god or something or a certain belief. And that is a cognitive dissonance when you think about it, because back then, when we're, you know, still cavemen, we had to either worry about survival or replication, and that was it, right? Anything else was kind of like low priority and not really important. So why then would we believe in a higher power or a god or a symbol? Like, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't help with reproduction or survival, directly at least. So as soon as we did that, we had cognitive dissonance going on, and that allowed us to build bigger tribes, work together, and then eventually take over the world, in short. So how does this apply to core values? It's the same thing when you work inside an organization or company. You need people to unite around something together that they all stand for, because that is the glue that makes people work together efficiently, rally around what we need to do. And then there's all these other side benefits that come from having a list of core values that I've sort of realized over time. So one is, it makes decision-making so much easier. When you know what your core values are, making decisions is going to be so much easier, right? It's the same thing for hiring people. If you know what your core values are, you're going to look for those core values in people. And if they don't have them, then they're probably just not the right fit for your company. And it's the same thing with dating, right? If you know what your values are and you're going on a date with somebody and this person just doesn't have your values, or they maybe have your anti-values, which I'll talk about a little bit later, which is basically the opposite of what you're looking for, then that's not the right person either. And so you start to, like you said, polarize people by knowing exactly what you stand for and what your values are.
Yeah, and I would argue that in an organization specifically, core values are going to be even more important, because as you get more people on board, it's harder for you to communicate the specific vision for where the organization is going on an individual level. One of the books that you told me to read was Ready, Fire, Aim by Michael Masterson. And he basically talks about how you can communicate your vision to 7 people effectively. After that, they have to communicate the vision to the people that they have direct influence over. And so core values are really going to be important in that specific scenario, because there's not going to be the disconnect, or the, you know, the telephone game where you tell one person, they tell another person, they tell another person, and then the message that you get at the end is so far different than what the original message was. Core values basically are the signposts that point you in the right direction. So as you scale up an organization, they're even more important. In fact, one of the talks that I gave for Toastmasters was on, it was called Corn Mazes and Core Values. And I used the example of when I took my family to the corn maze in Wisconsin. That's what you do in the fall, is you go to the farm and you go to the corn maze, and you can't see over the corn. So you're just kind of following this maze. But at one point in the maze, there's a place where you can get up in this platform and you can see the entirety of the maze. And at that point, you can identify like a tree near the exit where you want to go. And then you can kind of use that as a marker to make sure that you're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So do you want to dive into our list of core values?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. So we have essentially 5 core values here at Agent Efficiency. So the first one is called Glowing Green. The second one is called Pull Others Up. Number 3 is We Before Me. Number 4 is Blow Their Minds. And then number 5 is Kaizen. So we'll walk you through all the 5 that we have and sort of explain how we came up with them, so you can kind of see how we discovered our values and how we implemented them. And then hopefully you can sort of translate that to your own team, organization, your own personal life as well. So the first one is Glow Green. And this essentially means be the best version that you can be. That's really what this stands for. And as anybody who knows me really well, I'm a huge personal growth junkie. Like, I love working on myself, always becoming a better person, always learning. And so that is a true reflection of who I am. And I would like to have everybody at Asian Efficiency to be like that too. So if you join the company, I want you to be the best version that you can be. Whether that's, you know, taking initiative on your own and, you know, you maybe you take your own courses and books that you would like to learn more about and read about, but also have the company essentially pull you up and be the best version that you can be. Because my goal here as sort of the leader here at Asian Efficiency is to make sure that people are in a position where they can succeed and be the best version that they can be. And that's sort of a reflection of who I am and what Asian Efficiency stands for, and also how we help our customers, because we want to make sure that we glow green, but also that our customers glow green, because the more they succeed, the more we succeed, which is kind of related to the second core value, which is pulling others up. And that is the whole idea of, okay, if we are glowing green, we are being the best version that we can be. Let's help others glow green as well. Let's pull them up. So as we succeed, we need to pull others up as well and have them succeed too. Because if we're in a good position to help, that's the most effective way to help others, right? If we're in a bad place and we're trying to help other people, that's just not a really effective way of doing things. And that's really something that I truly believe in is, you know, in a strange way, it's very selfish. It says, take care of yourself first, because then you can take care of others. And that's kind of like how I look at it. And that's really what I believe and stand for. And if we as a company can be in a flourishing position, we can help others so much more. And one of my favorite quotes by Steve Jobs is, if you want to change the world, then build the best business in the world. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't exactly like that, but it was paraphrased like that. Essentially, if you want to see change, build a really good business, because that is how big changes are going to happen. And I know, you know, when we first met Mike sort of online over the internet, and when I tried to sort of bring you to the company, I know the first two were the ones that sort of attracted you. Would you mind sort of sharing what sort of led you to really like light up because of these two values?
Yeah. The glowing green, I love that one is first, because specifically in the area where I live, I think that there's not such a huge emphasis on personal development. Austin has a little bit different culture where it's a lot more prevalent, I would argue. You go to a coffee shop in Austin and you run into people who are building things and doing things. And there are people that do that in Neenah, Wisconsin as well, but it's not as easily seen, I guess, because we don't have the infrastructure that's in place to support that sort of thing. So that's the one that really caught me, because that one, definitely I share the same personal growth mindset. I always want to become a better version of myself. I want to end the day better than I was at the beginning of the day. I don't want to just go from day to day. I want to make those incremental changes, which we'll talk about in a little bit. So that was the one that really attracted me. And then the second one, pull others up. I've mentioned in the different webinars and presentations that I've done for Asian Efficiency over the years that my wife and I actually lead a service ministry at our church called Servolution. And the whole idea there is that we go into the worst parts of town and we just bless people. It's a church outreach, but it's not like we're going to go there and preach to people. We are just going to go find the need and we're going to meet it. So we'll show up with food and we'll show up with clothes and we'll just give that stuff out. So that's at the very core of who I am and who my family is. And I think it's really interesting. Like I've mentioned several other times on the podcast and on the blog that I'm very involved in my church. I'm a Christian. So I approach it through that mindset. And so I have a spiritual why for all of my productivity things. But what I love about this is that you don't have to have the same spiritual belief system in order to be in alignment. So these two things, glow green and pull others up, while very deep down at the very heart of it, like my intrinsic motivation for wanting to do these things maybe is a little bit different than other people on the team. How that manifests itself, how it plays out in real life, is exactly the same. So it's actually really unifying, where you can get people from different perspectives, different backgrounds, different belief systems, and you can get them moving in the same direction. So yeah, those are the two things that really, really attracted me. That's what I want to do with my life, is I want to become the best version of myself, and I want to help as many people as I can. So glowing green and pulling others up. Yeah, once I saw those, once I saw the post on AsianEfficiency.com about the core values, I read that. I'm like, yes, I am 100% behind what this company is doing. And I would argue that it shows up in my work. And anybody who understands these core values and gets in line with these core values, it's going to show up in their work. You can tell when people aren't aligned because they're going to be disconnected. They're going to go through the motions. But this is stuff that really resonates with me. And so it provides me provides me intrinsic motivation for everything that I do here at Asian Efficiency.
Wow. I did not even know that. That's awesome. So the third one is we before me. That's the third core value that we have. And to be honest, this was a really difficult want to express, and it actually took multiple iterations and different naming conventions in order to finalize what we have now. So when we first started Asian Efficiency, it used to be called No Ego Teamwork, and it's simply the value that we believe that teamwork is so much more effective when people are on the same page, and we can produce much bigger outputs when we work together rather than just individually do stuff. So it's the whole idea of 1 + 1 = 3 or 11, whatever, or 4 or 5 or whatever number you want to put there other than 2, right? So if you think about that, our vision when we started Asian Efficiency was, okay, let's build a super badass team of productivity people that want to share everything that they know and just help others as much as possible and do it together. So if we're running a productivity experiment, we're all going to do it. We're all going to try stuff. If we're going to try something else, let's all do it together and, you know, work together so that we can best serve our readers and customers. And then it was one of the things that we noticed is that nobody really sort of used that term, no ego teamwork. And I think it's because the word ego is really vague, and it doesn't really clarify what that really means. So that was kind of like a lesson learned. Like, you want to make sure that your core values are very crystal clear on what they mean. And then you also, when you have the word no, it has this negative connotation as well. Like, it's almost like you're being, you're trying to control people. Like, don't do this. Like, there's a boundary here, you know, instead of framing it in a positive way. So I wish I knew that early, because the second iteration was called No Heroes, which is actually, when you think about it, even worse, right? So we tried to rename it to No Heroes because it would remove the word ego, but still it kind of has this connotation of, like, you can't stand out. You can't be a star. You can't do all these amazing things because you have to work as a team, and the team's interest comes first before your own. And so then the word No Heroes, we kind of tried that for a while and didn't really resonate with people either. Again, it has this negative connotation. So you want to make sure that your values don't have this. And now, and this is, I have to give credit to you, Mike, because you came up with this on our quarterly meeting a couple quarters ago. I proposed to you guys and I said, okay, obviously, guys, this core value is not really resonating with people. I know you guys know what this means, what we stand for, but how do we sort of make it sexy? How do we make it sound cool? And then you just randomly said, we before me. And I was like, yes, that's it.
Yeah, it's got to be a rallying cry. It's got to be something that people can attach themselves to. From a psychological perspective, they say that your brain can't differentiate positive and negative. So if you're a golfer and you're teeing off and you're focusing on don't hit it in the water, your brain doesn't recognize the negative. It just focuses on the water, and there's a much better chance that you actually hit it in the water. And especially when you're trying to gain momentum in a specific direction, like you can't have that. You can't be distracted. So we before me is great. And I still remember one specific thing that kind of blew my mind on this particular core value. I believe that we were just getting the podcast off the ground, and we had accidentally published a episode before it was supposed to go live. And I was trying to figure out, like, why did this go live? What happened? You know, basically, who made the mistake? Although I wasn't really approaching it that way. And you just told me, doesn't matter. Let's just move forward. Let's fix it. And that was really a tipping point for me. And it really helped me realize that most people think about accountability and they think about who to blame when something goes wrong. But accountability is really ownership for fixing things moving forward. Like, you don't look back, and it doesn't matter who made the mistake. That's really what crystallizes for me. We talk about the team is greater than the individual and trust your team. We win and we lose as a team. That really kind of solidified this for me as to what this actually looks like.
Yeah, and I always love using sports analogies with this one. And that's something you brought up as well on the quarterly meetings with all these different examples. And I was like, yeah, I should totally express it that way too, because I watch basketball and soccer all the time. And this is all about that. Like, when you watch any sports game on the highest level, it's all about the team and people working together to achieve a similar goal. And it's the same thing here. We want to change the world and help as many people as we can. And we have a mission at Asian Efficiency, which is to make the world a more productive place. And if we can rally together and work together, this is what that can lead to. But we have to work together in order to get there. And there's this famous African proverb that I always talk about, and which I know you like too. And it's it goes something along the lines of, you know, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. And that really resonates with me, and also how I do things in my personal life. And the example that you sort of brought up was, you know, like, okay, something went wrong. Who's here to blame? I remember we had this similar issue come up again not too long ago, where I basically called up a whole team meeting and I said, hey guys, it seems like something went wrong here. And I forgot the exact example. Do you remember?
I think it had something to do with customer service.
Yeah. Right. So we had a problem where a whole customer service team was gone. They went to Disneyland together, and they had a lot of, you know, they had a lot of fun. And when people leave, you know, one of my values as well, which is not a core value of the team right now, but maybe it will be at some point, who knows, is when people are taking time off, they really should take time off. Like, go out there. You know, don't think about work. Don't do any work. Don't log in online. If I see you online, I will tell you to go offline. And that has happened multiple times. So it just happened to be that one day the customer service team was completely gone and nobody was manning customer service for a whole day. And if you know Asian Efficiency, we pride ourselves on customer service. Like, there's nobody else in our industry, in my opinion, that provides stellar customer service when it comes to productivity and efficiency. Like, there's nobody out there who can deliver the same quality. Like, you can email us a technical question about OmniFocus, Evernote, email, whether it's Android, Mac, whatever. We have a whole team here that can help you out. And I don't think anybody else can do that. So I have a lot of pride in our customer service. And I'm always there helping out people as well. I know you help out people. And it's an important part of the business. And so when they were gone and nobody else was taking over, there was sort of a confusion among team members of, oh, what's going on now? You know, what's going to happen? We have all these, you know, people emailing us that need a response. And, you know, one of the golden rules we have at Asian Efficiency is everybody gets a response within 24 hours. And so we started to break that rule a little bit. And I was like, oh, no, like, how do we fix this now? What do we do now going forward? And when we came to the meeting, I wasn't me coming in and say, okay, whose fault is this, guys? You know, like, who's the bad guy here? No, I came in and I said, hey guys, I know this happens. You know, what's the process? Like, how do we fix the process for this? And how do we
make sure it doesn't happen again?
Exactly. And that's the whole mindset. And that's always the mindset that I have, is I'm not here to blame people. I'm not here to put people down. I don't want to do that. It doesn't make anything better. Because I know if you have the right people and they make a mistake or something bad happens, if you have the right people on the team, they know that they're not going to make that same mistake again. And so, you know, as the leader, I'm there to, you know, vote supportive confidence there and say, okay, how do we fix this? You know, let's rally together as a team and work around this somehow. And let's make sure this doesn't happen again. And if it does happen again, you know, then we will rejigger the process and figure out another way to address this. And so I always think about it that way. And it, again, it's all about the teamwork and us working together, because we can achieve so much more together. And that, and that's one of the things I always tell people as well when they want to work for Asian Efficiency, or I'm trying to convince people to move away from where they're working to work with us. And I say, hey, if you join us, there's so much more that we can do together. And by the time you're listening to this, we actually have a new team member, which is Brooks Duncan, who you might know of DocumentSnap.com, who is probably, you know, the leading expert when it comes to going paperless and pretty much any scanner that you have. And, you know, I had this conversation with him 2-3 years ago when I first tried to convince Brooks to join Asian Efficiency. And, you know, he was kind of open to the idea, but he also had a successful business himself, right? He was helping people and doing great things. But I kept this dialogue going of, hey, you know, if we join forces, there's so much more we can do together. And now he's officially joined the team. And now I'm pretty convinced that we can do so much more stuff together. And, you know, when we put Escape Your Email together, I know you, me and him worked a lot together, and we saw the jumps of productivity that we got when we saw Brooks, you know, really get in the zone and do stuff. So I'm really convinced, you know, no ego teamwork then became no heroes is now we before me is like really, really important.
Definitely. And when we're all pulling together, that makes the fourth core value a lot easier, which is blow their minds. Basically, we want to provide a wow experience anytime anyone comes across Asian Efficiency. So one way that's played out specifically, going back to the customer service thing, is that we've made a lot of changes recently to the customer area. We completely redid the whole customer area so that now it's a lot easier to go through your courses. And also we added a tool where it's not exactly live chat, but it's called Intercom, and it's a direct link to the Asian Efficiency team. What we've noticed with that tool is that because it's embedded right on every single page, people who maybe didn't email when they had a problem are telling us whenever they experience any sort of friction, and we're able to jump in a much more timely manner. You mentioned 24 hours. A lot of the Intercom stuff is a couple of hours, if that. And we can provide assistance and we can solve people's problems and we can accomplish this core value. And this was something that, you know, I floated the idea to you, and really it came down to, is this in line with our core values? Does this accomplish the goal of like where we want to go as Asian Efficiency? And you basically said, yeah, Mike, run with it, see what we can do. And so far the experience with that has been really, really positive.
Yeah, you can only make a first impression once. And that's something that I really believe in. And so when people come to Asian Efficiency, the impression that I want them to have is, whoa, like, wow, like, this is awesome. This is what I was looking for. And the way Asian Efficiency grew was because when we wrote productivity content and articles and all this good stuff, like, people were having these kind of experiences. They describe, every time I meet people in person, they say something like, oh man, when I first read your stuff, I couldn't stop reading. I love this stuff, you know? And that is really, really important to me, because I know you can't make a first impression twice. There's only one chance you have for making a good first impression. So let's make it count. So what's interesting though is I recently took a personality test. It's called the DISC test. And I'm all about personality tests and understanding myself and people on the team. And you've taken it. And mm-hmm. I want everybody else in the company to take it, because, again, we before me, if we know our tendencies and things we do well and things we don't do well, we can work together more effectively. So that's why I wanted to have everybody take different, you know, personality tests. So we had DISC, we have the 5 love languages, we had wealth dynamics. And I'm sure there's going to be at some point other ones. Just, oh, and Colby, yeah.
So, which I actually made my wife take as well.
Right. Can you quickly share what you got out of that?
Well, my wife is definitely a quick start, and I'm definitely more of a fact finder. So recognizing those things, that affects how we interact and how we communicate with each other. And you may think that we've been married for over 10 years now, so we should have this kind of figured out. But a lot of times you just go through the motions and you make things harder and you just deal with the things as you just accept things as like, this is the way that things are, until you take one of these assessments and you kind of put the pieces together. And actually she was with me in Austin and you gave us kind of like a little counseling session where you interpreted our DISC profiles. And you're saying, Rachel, Mike does this, this, and this. And she's like, yeah. And you're like, and Mike, Rachel does this, this, and this. And I'm like, yeah. So recognizing those things like that, that reduces a lot of the friction just by knowing how each other work. I know that, and really it's more so the other way. The quick starts know that the people who are high fact finders, they need to have a little bit more information when you're trying to convince them to do something. But also I know that because my wife is a high quick start, sometimes I'm not going to have all the facts and that's just got to be okay. I've got to be a little bit more flexible.
Yeah. And if you understand the Kolbe personality test and if you can kind of like see what some people's scores are, you can see where there might be a conflict as well. And so in order for people to work productively together, you need to know where possible friction points are, possible conflicts. And so that's why I wanted to make sure that we all took this test so we can identify these and also know about these things from each other. And so, for example, when people come to me and suggest an idea or they want to implement something, you know, I always jokingly say, hashtag high fact finder, hashtag high fact finder, which means basically give me a lot of details because that's what I like. That's naturally what I want to consume before I make any sort of decision. So, yeah, so going back to blow their minds, again, first impressions count. And that's basically the experience that I want people to have when people come to Asian Efficiency. And partly was inspired by Zappos, which they're really known for their customer service and their wow experience, as they call it. And I took a tour there a couple years ago. I think this was maybe 2012 in Vegas at their headquarters. And they sort of showed people around how they do things, what their company culture was, and how they, you know, wow people. And I was like, wow, like, that is exactly how I want to do things as well and how I would like Asian Efficiency to be. So that's kind of where this came from. And we didn't really codify it until I think maybe 2 quarters ago. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. So this is pretty recent in that sense, but it has always been something I represent and stand for and other people on the team as well. And so now it's really easy to say, hey, Mike, okay, this is a great idea. Does this blow their minds? And if you say no, then okay, then it's not good enough. Then we need to go back to the drawing board and figure out what to do. And so any sort of new initiative or improvement we want to make, we always think back to, okay, does this blow their minds? Does this align with our values? And that's why it makes decision-making so much easier when you have a list of values.
Definitely. I mean, from my personal perspective, I don't know if I bring up that idea if blow their minds isn't a core value, because I have this idea. I have ideas all the time and some of them are good, some of them aren't. But this one specifically, I knew that the end result was going to be a better user experience. So it was in line with this core value. If you didn't amend the core values, I don't know that that's necessarily in line with any of the other ones at the time. Definitely not in line with one of the ones that was on this list, data-driven decisions, you know, because I had no data to show that this was going to provide a better user experience. It was a thought that this is a tool that would allow us to better serve our customers, but until we really launched it, we didn't really understand how much that was really going to help.
Yeah, so you bring up a really good point. So the fourth core value we used to have, if you read our old blog post, said it was data-driven decisions. And when we first started Asian Efficiency, it was kind of true, but not always true. Like a lot of times we would make decisions around instincts and just really guesswork. And as the company grew and as Asian Efficiency grew, we sort of moved away from being data-driven. And that's when we realized, okay, you know what? We are actually not data-driven whatsoever. It's not really a core value. We thought it was a core value, but it turned out not to be the case. And as the team grew, other people on the team weren't data-driven either. So again, when you think about the mission to Mars and you send 5 people to an alien world, you know, what do they stand for? What do they embody? Are they like the perfect representation? At that time, nobody was data-driven. And so that's why we removed that core value, because it just didn't represent who we were. That doesn't mean that we don't use data to make decisions. We still do. Right. But it's just not like really in our DNA. Right. And so that's why we removed it. So if you're going through this exercise where you come up coming up with a list of core values and you're like, okay, this is now set in stone for the rest of our life. No. You can always remove it and change it. Just do it in harmony with other people in your team and your company as well, and come together and rally around that, because everybody has to share these values. If they don't, then it's not really a core value.
Right. I remember when we changed it, I was kind of against it because I really liked the idea of data-driven decisions, but in reality, we weren't making data-driven decisions. And so a more appropriate core value was the fifth one that we came up with, which is Kaizen. The literal Japanese translation of Kaizen is improvement. So what we want to do at Asian Efficiency is make incremental improvements. And that was much more in line with what we wanted to accomplish through data-driven decisions. But what we found was that we would run tests. We would see, you know, the results of something that we did. Doesn't mean we had a bunch of data on that particular thing, but we had enough information to identify that, you know, we should really change this, or we should improve this, or we should change a process in this particular instance. And one of the things that I really like that we do is in our sprint meetings, you ask us at the end of every sprint meeting, what's one thing we can do next sprint to make you happier? That's not necessarily a data-driven question, but ultimately the end result is we want to become more efficient. We want to become more effective. And so Kaizen better encapsulates, I would argue, what we wanted to accomplish with the old core value of data-driven decisions. Would you agree?
Yeah. And like I always say, happy people are productive people. So however I can make you happy, and especially when I tell Marmel, hey, it's your job to make people happy and make sure that people are satisfied. I tell all the time, you know, happy people are productive people. So when you really ingrain that and think about it, that's just so true. Like, it doesn't matter how technical or non-technical people are. If they are happy people, they're just generally more productive people. And the way to get to happiness is not like a 0-to-1 transition. It's usually incremental improvements as well. And I just love the idea of continuous improvement. It's something that I personally do and live and embody. And I see other people on the team live and embody. And that's why we made it a core value. And that's, for example, the 3x rule that we always talk about in the Productivity Blueprint and sometimes on the podcast and on the blog as well, comes from this. When something annoys you 3x or more, you got to fix the root cause, not the symptom, right? So when you really think about that, that's really what Kaizen is. It's if something bugs you more than 3x, there's a systemic problem somewhere. Just so fix the root cause so it doesn't happen again. Usually it's a tiny improvement and you can just move on with your day. Or if something is already working, but we make it a little bit better, let's just do it right away. So one of my favorite episodes on the podcast is, I believe, 102, a 2-second lean. And if you listen to that episode, that is just a representation of what Kaizen really is. Just making continuous improvements. And that's just one of my favorite episodes on the podcast. So definitely check that one out. It really represents what Kaizen is. And if I had to give another example of how we do things at Asian Efficiency, it would be everything is documented. Literally everything is documented. Like, it's like people don't believe me when I show them, but literally every, like, 99% of things are documented here at Asian Efficiency. And when you write documentation and you have documentation in place, it's much easier to make continuous improvements. Now, one thing I have noticed, and this is more of an advanced thing, but when Kaizen is so embodied, sometimes it kind of slows down innovation a little bit because you're so focused on what's already existing and making it better rather than doing a 360 and do something completely different. And I think that's also partly in my DNA and how this expresses as well, which is why I really appreciate you, Mike, on the team, because you always bring new ideas, a fresh set of eyes on different things. And, you know, I can't compliment you enough on those ideas and the idea generation that you have, because I'm terrible when it comes to making new ideas happen and like coming up with new ideas and innovation. I'm really good naturally at just like, give me something and I make it 10 times better. But you are somebody who is like really good at coming up with new ideas, making different suggestions on how to do things completely differently. And I'm like, huh, okay. Yeah. I can see this work. Yeah. Will this blow their mind? Yeah. Okay. Let's go for it. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's been interesting, but it's also been really good, I think, how we kind of work together and bring different perspectives. And that's one of the things that I had to learn when I joined the Asian Efficiency team, is that we had a lot of different personalities, and learning to work with different personalities was difficult for me at first. But then once I figured it out, once I understood the Colby stuff at even a rudimentary level, it really made the end product much, much better. So, you know, if you're in an organization and everybody thinks the exact same way that you do, that's actually a warning sign. You don't want groupthink. You want people to be able to share different perspectives, different ideas. But you also want to have the core values in place, obviously, that people can rally around, so you're still moving in the same direction. And there's not just conflict for conflict's sake, but you learn how to have productive conflict, and you learn how to get a resolution, which is actually much better than anything that you could come up with on your own. Now, you had mentioned in the notes here some things that happened since you started implementing and publicly talking about the core values. You want to share some of that?
Yeah, so as I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast episode, we started off implementing core values because it was just apparently something good businesses do. I just took it from that approach, and I thought, okay, if good businesses do this, I must do this, we should do this, and let's just see what actually happens. And then as we got into it and implemented it and make it come alive and do all these things, I started to see a lot of side benefits coming from this. So one of the things that really helped us a lot, and I sort of brought this up earlier, is it made hiring a lot easier. You just know who you're looking for and who you're not looking for. And if you're a business owner, you know how costly a bad hire is. And so if you have a list of core values, you can sort of screen people against that and see, okay, do they match up with our values? If they don't, then that is not the right person. So you want to make sure you always hire based on culture fit, not based on skills. Because if you can give me any smart person and they have the same values, I can teach them anything. Honestly, I can teach them anything. So it's more important to have the same values, because you can't teach values to people. Like, they either have it or they don't. Unless you really like do some Tony Robbins stuff and like reprogram their head and like they become a completely different person. But really, that doesn't happen. And if you had a lot of relationships before, you know that you cannot change people. People are just who they are, and you just have to accept that. So if you think you can change people, no, you cannot to a certain degree. Okay. So it's the same thing here. Like, if you hire somebody, you can't really change them. So you want to make sure it's a good culture fit, and then the skills will take care of itself. You can teach anybody good skills. So that's the first thing. Second thing is also, when we sort of publicized our core values, we started to get a lot of applications from people. And they said, hey, I love the core values that you guys have. This is really what I stand for. I want to surround myself with other people who share similar values. And so we got a lot of applications in. And that was really surprising. I never thought that that would happen. And even just talking about our core values in public, I never thought that was a good idea. I always thought, you know, we should keep this internal. This is what we do and represent. But it actually helps not only attract talent and awesome people and make everything better and everyone better, but also from a purely business point of view, just talking about your core values and having your customers align around your core values brings them closer as well. So you're going to see us talking a lot more about our core values. And if that doesn't resonate with you, then I suggest, you know, click unsubscribe in our emails, stop listening to this podcast, because we're probably not the right fit for you, right? But if you love our core values and you can resonate with a couple of them, if not all of them, then great. Let's stick around. Let's talk more. Let's get really nerdy, geeky about whatever we stand for and productivity. And we would love to have you and, you know, go deeper and do all this fun stuff together. And so, like you said at the beginning, it's really polarizing. And that's kind of scary, because you want to cater to different people, right? And one of the questions I got not too long ago at a workshop was, what are you willing to be bad at? And so it was just another way of phrasing, like, what do you really stand for? So again, the question was, what are you willing to be bad at? So you can really focus on what you're really good at. So you think about, for example, Southwest, which is an airline here in the United States, for people who don't know. What were they willing to be bad at? Well, they don't have any first class. They don't have any assigned seating. It's literally you go in and you pick your seat and off you go. they were willing to be really bad at, you know, catering to a certain segment of people, the way they run things a certain way, and they were willing to do that so they can provide the best service, which is, you know, leaving on time, having a great experience on the plane, and all that stuff. So I asked myself this question too, and I know you've heard me say this all the time, like, what are we willing to be bad at? And I think one of them is, you know what, we are Apple users, we love Mac. We know we have a lot of Android users and PC users, and they love our stuff as well. But really, what are we willing to be bad at is we just can't cater all the time to these Android people and PC users, because we are so focused on the Mac and we're willing to be really the best at it and provide the best solutions and, you know, make the Mac users really our number one priority, and everybody else comes secondary, which is kind of a scary decision when you think about it, but that's really what we stand for, and that's how we should act.
Yeah, you're going to definitely get some people that hate that approach, but that's okay. I was at the Sean West conference, and he was talking about how there's a natural tendency to focus on the haters, the people who just can't stand what you're doing. And sometimes especially if you have a people-pleasing personality, you can attempt to tone down your message so that you don't alienate those people. You want to be all inclusive. That's kind of my personality by default. And he was basically saying that if you're not hated, then that just means that you're not being strong enough to elicit a response. And really what you should be fearing is not the haters, but the people who are just completely indifferent because you're not strong enough to pick one position or the other. And he made the point that the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. So what you want are people on either end of that spectrum. You want to really serve the people that you are able to serve, and the people that you're not going to be able to serve anyway, you know, just be okay with not being able to serve them. You're, like you said, choosing what you're going to be bad at.
Now, at this point, you might be wondering, okay, Tan, okay, Mike, love the core values, but how do I find my own core values? What's the process? And at this point, you probably realize now that the core values are a representation of you. What do you stand for? What's most important to you? Those are the questions you want to ask yourself. And so when you grab, you know, a pen, piece of paper, just write whatever comes to mind. What do you stand for? What's most important to you? And just write it down. You're going to come up with a really long list, and ideally you want to trim it down to like 3 to 5 core values, just so that it is really simple and something that you can really easily remember, but also bring up over and over and over again, right? Now, another way to find your core values is to list your anti-core values. So what are your anti-core values? What are some of the things that you really hate? What are some of the things that you just despise, that you really can't stand? Just think about that for a second. So to give an example, one of my anti-core values, I guess, is, or something that I just can't stand, is settling for average. Like, I just cannot stand for that whatsoever. Like, when it comes to my relationships, who I'm dating, I can't settle for average. Like, I want the best, you know. And when it comes to in business or productivity, I want the best. That's why I bought OmniFocus. It's the best task manager out there. I want the best. That's why I bought a Mac. It's the best laptop out there. You know, whenever I have something, I want the best, which is kind of related to minimalist luxury lifestyle. You know, you want to own few things, but the things you do own are of high quality. And that's kind of like inspired by that as well. Or I should say an expression of that is that I don't want to settle for average. If I have a phone, I want the best phone. I'm only going to have one phone, so I might as well have the best phone, right? So my anti-core value is just settling for average. And when it comes to Asian efficiency, I don't want other people to settle for average. I want them to be the best version that they can be. I want them to rise and shine and be amazing and super Asian efficient. So when you really think about that, what's the opposite of that, of the anti-core values of settling for average? It's to be the best. And that's why we came up with Glowing Green. It's where that came from. Like, I just don't like settling for average. But what's the opposite of that? It's being the best version that you can be. So that's where Glow Green came from. And if you're wondering, why is it the color green? I know a lot of people have asked me this, so I'll answer it now. From a purely funny standpoint, it represents the color of money. And when we first started Asian Efficiency, it was a passion project. But also as we started to grow, we wanted to make Asian Efficiency sort of a vehicle for building our sort of like financial status as well. And, you know, we are in business. We need to make profits. And that's one of the things that's important for us as well. And so green is kind of like a representation of that. And also if you have an alliteration, which is like glowing green, GG, it's easier to remember. So if you look at all the good product names out there in the world or things that you remember, they always have alliterations. So just think about that for a second and you'll see it popping up everywhere. So that's why we call it glowing green.
Green is also the color of growth, which is kind of how I reconciled that in my head before I even knew that, you know, that it was the color of money. But I agree that that's not necessarily a bad thing. Like you mentioned the Steve Jobs quote at the beginning, like you really want to make an impact. The way to do that is to build a successful business that gives you a vehicle and a platform to reach a lot more people.
Yeah. You say that. That just reminds me. I usually, whenever somebody comes and joins the team, I always say, okay, green represents money, but also growth. So I'm glad you brought that up too.
You mentioned that one of your personal core values is not to settle for average. That's actually one of our Schmitz family core values also. So, you know, think about not only the core values from this episode in terms of the organizations or the teams that you're a part of, but also personally. So my wife and I did that. We went through an exercise maybe about a year and a half ago. And we just thought about, you know, our family was growing and we decided that we wanted to be in alignment, you know, take advantage of the two horse rule that I mentioned earlier and recognize that these core values, which were going to guide our family as we were raising our kids and, you know, shaping them into who they're, obviously they're all individuals and they can strike out on their own, but we want to give them a head start. We want to point them in the right direction. You know, what are the core values that as a family we're not going to compromise on? What are our core values, our anti-core values? What are the things that we can't stand? And not selling for average is one of those. So what we did is we identified five core values and then we didn't just write them down. I actually had a graphic artist friend from church create a manifesto type graphic that we have now printed and hanging on the wall in our living room. And I can share the graphic file to give people some inspiration if they want to do the same sort of thing. The core values we identified as to who we want to become. Number one is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Number two, give selflessly by finding the need and meeting it. Number three, lead courageously and always stand for the truth. Number four, impact the culture and leave your own legacy. And then number five, determine to be different and don't settle for average. So again, these are not specific things as like, this is what our kids are going to do necessarily. These are things that can guide them and point them in the right direction. But ultimately what we want to have happen is them not to just settle for the status quo, not to do things just because everybody else is doing them. You know, one of the choices that we've made is we're homeschooling at the moment, and that's not popular with some people. But we believe that being able to communicate and educate our children at a very impressionable age is really, really important. We want to be the loudest voice in their life, and we want to set them up for success and not put them in an environment where they've got 30 other people and one adult who they're trying to vie for their attention all the time. We just think that, especially for our boys who tend to be pretty crazy, like that's an environment where they're kind of set up to fail. So, you know, that's a real practical way on how that has played out in our own personal lives with these core values.
Man, that is awesome. So you're applying everything to the family life now too.
Oh yeah. I'm all in.
And she's all in too. And so are your kids.
Yep, definitely.
So one thing I do want to sort of emphasize before we end the episode is that there's no good or wrong core values. Just remember that. So when you're writing your list down, there's no good or wrong. It's just your values. And what they found through different studies is that the companies who have a list of core values tend to be more successful, but it doesn't really matter what their values are as long as they have them. That's the most important thing. So when you write your list down, don't... Don't think about, is this the right value? Is this, you know, does this cater to other people? No, just write a list down. This is your set of values and you're going to learn over time and iterate from there. Just like how we did it, Kaizen, right? Kaizen didn't come up initially. It was only 2 quarters ago when we introduced it. Same thing for Blow Their Minds. It didn't come into existence until 2 quarters ago. And so this is an iterative process and you're going to go through the same iteration. Some just will resonate, some won't. So start off with a really small list of core values and see how they grow over time and maybe change them, update them, modify them, or maybe get rid of them. So don't think, you know, that you need to have the perfect list right away. It's going to grow over time.
Yeah, definitely. Don't be afraid to evolve these. You want to go through some next actions, give people some action items that they can use to identify their own core values?
Yeah. So when it comes to Asian efficiency and the productivity show and everything we do, you know, you can always get actionable content, right, Mike? Isn't that one of our brand promises?
Yep. So actionable content that produces faster results.
Exactly. And that's one of the brand promises that we have here at Asian Efficiency. So again, you know, find your own list of values by using the exercises that we've mentioned here in the episode. So if you need to go back, just rewind like 10, 15 minutes ago and you can go through that section again. So find your own list of values. You know, if you run a business and you're the founder, remember, the initial list is going to be your representation. If it's a really small business, like less than 5 people, I want to say, the first list should be really a reflection of you as the founder and the CEO. If you have a bigger company, you should really involve, you know, your executive team and people that are closest to you to in order to create this list, because it needs to be representing them as well, right? Then once you have your list of values, just run with it, see how it goes, you know, reevaluate it every single quarter, see how things are going. Does this still resonate? Is this good? Do we need to scrap some and, you know, come up with new ones? And start with a small list so you can really reevaluate. And then, you know, a little bit more advanced thing, if you already have a list of core values, see how you can make them come alive even more in your business. So maybe you have a list of core values, but you don't bring them up enough on your meetings or when you have one-on-one conversations with people, or maybe you don't write enough about it on your company website or in your newsletter. So make them come alive more, because the more you do it, the more it's going to be ingrained, the more it's going to be a reflection on other people, and the more benefit that's going to translate into other things. So, and then the last point is share your values with somebody else, like your partner or the people on your team. Kind of test the waters, what people say, what people think of it. You know, you're going to iterate from there. So if you need to do that, you know, we can always, you know, point you in the right direction. If you are scared and you want to get some feedback from us, you know, you can always do that as well. You can always email us, or, you know, you can ask people in the dojo as well. There's so many places where we can help you. So definitely share your values with somebody, because that's when it's going to come alive. But also, you'll know right away if you share it with somebody, does this come across as something you really want to share? Or is this something, this is all right. Like once you have that feeling, you know, it's not really a core value. So that's why I really want you to share it, because that's when you'll find out. That's like the litmus test to figuring out, okay, is this really a core value?
Yep. Just throw it out there and get some feedback. And like you said, one of the best places to share those core values, I would argue, would be the dojo. That's our online productivity community. If you're not familiar with that, where you can get around other productive people who share the same achiever's mindset, so they can both support you and they can hold you accountable. And I don't know about you, but I am always amazed at the quality of the feedback that we get from the dojo community. We've got some really super smart people in there. Also with the dojo, you get monthly video content on a variety of topics. It's kind of like lynda.com for the productivity space. And you also get direct access to the Asian Efficiency team via a private Slack channel just for dojo members. So if you have questions about your specific core values after you go through these next actions from this episode, and you want to talk to Tanner or myself about that, then the dojo is the place where we can provide direct feedback for that sort of thing. And if you want to find out more, you can go to theproductivityshow.com/dojo. Show notes for everything that we discussed in this episode can be found at theproductivityshow.com/126. And we will talk to you all next productive Monday.